It's because you ain't come down to the altar. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, very familiar scripture. Anybody's been in church for any amount of time, you know the story of Lazarus and Mary and Martha and we've already had testimony. People that's been at the very end. I can tell you of folks that were away from divorce and God showed up. I can tell you of folks that the doctor said there ain't nothing else we can do and God showed up. I can tell you of folks that was at the end of their journey, they felt like the prodigal son and they felt like nothing else could be done. Nobody loves me and God showed up. Amen. The Bible tells us, and Mary and Martha sent to Jesus, said, our brother is sick. He's not well. The Bible says that Jesus tarried or waited until after Lazarus had died, and then he started that way. Sometimes God's going to let you get to a point where there ain't nothing else him. The thing about it is, if a doctor had showed up and gave him some kind of medicine, Brother Donald Boone, they'd have said the doctor did it. See, if somebody in here, if somebody would have, if you'd have had marriage counseling, they might have said that the counselor did it. Or some doctor did a bypass and everything was all right. And you might say some doctor did it. Let me tell you something. Your salvation is not the only thing that can be left up to Jesus. Everything you face in your life can be left up to Jesus. Amen. Because he knows about everything. The Bible says in John chapter 11, look in verse 38. Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. That means, that right there, understand something. That right there, if you got the King James Bible, is past tense. Jesus was just going through the formality right now, Preacher Thad. He had already talked to the Father about this. The Father, I believe with all my heart, the Father had already given him the okay to call Lazarus out. And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they might believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for what you've already done, for all the prayers that's already been answered, God, on this pulpit, Lord. And I pray right now, Lord, you just continue to work. I pray, God, you'd continue to move, Lord. God, you help us right now, God, in what we do to honor you. And Lord, if there's one that's not saved, God, I pray, God, you just help them that today they would realize that today's the day of salvation, that they're not promised tomorrow, God. God, and I pray, God, you would help us right now, God, get us out of the way. Let all the praise and all the glory go to Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A graveyard might be a strange place for a revival. But understand something. A graveyard is a perfect place for a revival. Because everybody there is dead. And to have revival, you got to have something that's dead. You got to have something that nobody else can help. You got to have something that's got to be revived. Amen. And understand something. I've seen joy was returned to this family. Faith was returned to this family. Many were saved by what happened here. Happiness was returned to this family. How many need a little revival this morning? We all could use a revival this morning. You say, preacher, we just came out of revival. Yeah, and since revival, our church has gone through several deaths since we had revival. Our church has gone, hey, we've got folks in the hospital, and if you ain't careful, that drains you down. But I come this morning to let you know that you can't have revival in a graveyard. Number one, you got to recognize the need for the Lord. Amen. Understand something. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. We can't fight against the Lord. Amen. We can't go against the Lord. You got to recognize the need for the Lord. We got people in this building right now, Brother David, that they know the need is there, but they have not called out on Jesus yet. You're still trying to do it yourself. You're still trying to work it out yourself. Understand something. You cannot work some things out. There was nothing else that can be done at this situation. Nobody else could help. They had already put him in the grave. They had already put the stone in front of the grave. They had already gave up, went back to the house to mourn over it and cry over it. But glory to God, I'm just here to tell you, if you'll recognize the need for the Lord, Jesus can do something. His presence is needed in a time of sorrow. How many of us today are hurting? How many of us today are going through some things? And you need Jesus, amen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What do you need rest from this morning? Every one of us in here is fighting something. I've talked to folks this week. We got folks in our church, like David said, we got folks in our church that's in hospitals right now. We got folks in our church got family situations going on right now. We got folks in our church, they're heartbroken and they're beat up and battered over things that they cannot control. But glory to God, when you recognize the need for the Lord, he can do something about it. Amen. We need his presence. We need his power in every situation. You got to understand something. We're talking about the one that calmed the sea. We're talking about the one that raised the dead. We're talking about the one that healed blinded eyes. We're talking about the one that stepped out on nothing and spoke everything into existence. We're talking about the one that made you and knows you. And we're talking about the one that loves you enough that he went and died on a cross. So, hey, if he loved me that much, he loves every situation that I'm in if I call out on him. Amen. We got to recognize that need. How many of you have been honest this morning? How many of us this morning have been honest with God and say, Lord, I've got this need? See, if we ain't careful, we come to church, we want to put on that show like I was talking about a while ago. We come to church and we want to put on that facade. We come to church and we got our good clothes on and everybody, and I'm sitting up front. I smell good. I got my nice suit on and everybody's looking and everybody thinks I'm all right. But deep down, you fighting something. Deep down, you struggling. Deep down, you know you're saved. But like Brother Robert sang that song, sometimes I come in and on the inside I'm crying. Well, let me go ahead and tell you something. You can sit in that pew and cry on the inside all you want to and not never recognize the need for the Lord. But if you'll ever get on this altar and cry on the outside and let Jesus help you, he can fix the situation. Amen. Not only do you need to recognize the need, you got to request help. The Bible says they sent for Jesus in John chapter 11, verse 3. They sent for Jesus. Said, Lord, the one that you love, Lord, the man that you love is sick. He ain't doing good, God. They told Jesus of the need. And I was thinking about this as I was studying this, preacher Thad. Not only did they tell Jesus of the need, they sent for Jesus. Lord, we need you to come. Lord, we need you to come. Lord, we need you to come. And understand something. If you're sitting here this morning and you say, well, Jesus knows my need. Yes, he knows your need, but he wants you to know that he knows your need. He wants you to recognize the need. Sometimes we got to get on an altar and say, Lord, this is what the problem is. Lord, we got to pray specific. We can't quit praying that generalized prayer. Oh, God, you know my need. Oh, God, you know where I'm at. Oh, but you need to get, oh, God, you know I got a sin in my life. Lord, I am dealing with this certain sin. God, I am dealing with this certain sickness. God, I am dealing with this certain thing. Lord, I need you to move on this. When Jesus was walking by the blind man, blind Bartimaeus, he said, what will thou have me do? He didn't say, Lord, my foot hurts. He said, Lord, that I might see. Some of us need to get specific this morning. Some of y'all need to get specific this morning. You need to come in and say, Lord, this is the area that I need you to move in right here. They called it. Now, I've heard this, and you've heard this all your life. Why did Jesus call him by name? What's the common sense among preachers? Why did Jesus call Lazarus by name? Because the whole graveyard would have come up. Well, let me just back up on this story a little bit. They were the only ones that sent for him. Whew. Oh, oh, my God, that's a whole nother sermon. They were the only ones, Brother Barry, that sent for him. And when Jesus stood there, Melvin, he could have called everybody out of the graveyard. But the ones that called for him, the ones that said, Lord, this is the need. The ones that said, Lord, I got a problem right here. That's why he stood up and said, Lazarus, come forth. That's good preaching right there. I like it when the Lord just blesses you with something you didn't even have no idea about. Amen. What's your need? What's your need? See, there's already been people on this altar that came up here and said, Lord, this is my need. Lord, this is my need. Lord, this is my need. And Jesus has already stepped out on the portals of glory and called out for their need on this situation and called out for that situation and called out for that situation. What's your need this morning? Not only you got to recognize need, you got to request help. You got to call out on him. Sometimes Jesus wants you to show him. Jesus said, where have you laid him? Lord, come and see. Wes, where have you laid it? Greg, where have you laid it? Melvin, where have you laid it? That's what Jesus is asking this morning. Where have you laid it, Terry? Where have you laid it, Chucky? What is it? What is it that you need? Where have you laid it? Notice how that reads. Where have you laid it? Where did you give up on it? Where did you give up on that need? Where did you give up on that lost loved one? Where did you give up on your health? Where did you give up on your family? Where did you give up on the need? They knew exactly where he was, because that's where they laid him. That's where they gave up. And Jesus said, hey, understand something. If you'll give it to me, you can give up on it all you want to. We got people in this church house right now that people give up on you. They didn't think you could be saved. They said you had gone too far. But glory to God, look where you're sitting out on a Sunday morning in God's house. Amen. Recognize the need. Request the help. Respond to the command. Here's where we fall short. You got to respond to the command. Verse 4, Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Remove the stone. Lord, he stinks. Remove the stone. Lord, he stinks. You don't understand, God. He stinks. Jesus told them what to do. We have a Bible full of commandments. Some of us are fighting things right now because you have not obeyed the commands. Amen. David was talking about this morning. Sometimes we go through storms, that's other people's fault. Sometimes we go through storms, Brother Mike, and it's our fault. Hey, and when Jesus gives us those commands, we have to respond. If you want revival in a graveyard, you got to do whatsoever he says do. You can't just live any old way and make it. You can't just be in and out. You can't be up and down. You got to respond to the commands of the Savior. If you want Jesus to move in your life, you got to be faithful. You got to be in prayer. You got to be in Bible study. You got to be faithful to God's house. You can't just go any old way. I hope you didn't think this was going to be one of them Joel Osteen sermons where you could just come in and live like you want to and everything's going to be all right. You got to respond to the command. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26? But Jesus beheld him and said unto them, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Jesus told, now listen, Jesus told them to move the stone. Jesus ain't going to do for you what you can do for yourself. You understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. If you're having trouble with something, for some reason my mind just went back to the movie what was the one with Kirk Cameron with the fireman? Fireproof. Y'all remember in Fireproof, he had a little problem with the computer. How many of y'all remember that movie? Rest of y'all need to watch it. Bunch of heathens ain't watched a Christian movie. What's wrong with y'all people? But in this movie, he had a problem with the computer. He had a problem looking at things on the computer that he had no business looking at. He was under conviction. Amen. He was under conviction. And God kept dealing with him, and God kept dealing with him. And he took that computer outside and took a baseball bat and beat it to death. God is going to move in your life, and God is going to tell you some things. And God ain't going to do nothing for you that you can't do for yourself. Sometimes you got to clean up some mess. Sometimes you got to get some stuff out of the way. Jesus said, remove the stone. If you'll get the stone out of the way, Jesus is telling you this morning, I can take care of your situation. But I'm not going to take care of the situation until you get the stone out of the way. You got to make sure that you respond to the command. When you've done all this, now it's time to receive the blessing. So my question right now to you is this. Have you recognized your need? Have you requested help? Have you responded to the command? If you want to receive the blessing, you cannot jump ahead. I'm trying to give us a pattern for revival. I'm trying to give us a plan for revival. And I'm telling you right now, if you'll follow these steps, Clint, we'll follow these steps, God will work it out. The Bible tells us in chapter 12, I went back, preacher, and I had to look at it and read it. In chapter 11, the Bible, when they call, now we can imagine in our minds what happened. How would y'all feel if you were standing there and Jesus called your dead relative back to life? Woo-hoo, thank you. They'd have had a fit in that graveyard, I'm just telling you right now. I'd have been turning over tombstones. I'd have had a fit in that graveyard. But the Bible don't say that. The Bible basically says, Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And pretty much, and it says, and people were saved, and then the Pharisees get involved. Ain't that the way it is most time? But when you go to chapter 12, the Bible says that Jesus is sitting down eating with Lazarus. And Mary comes in with a box of alabaster oil. She was thankful for her blessing, amen. When God moves and God shows up, amen, you ought not just sit there. You ought to just praise Him. You ought to come in and break the box, amen. Everybody in the church house ought to know. There ought not be a doubt in nobody's mind. Let me tell you something. When God does something for you, there ought not be a doubt in your mind or nobody else in this church house of why you down on that altar, why you're worshiping, why you got your hands up in the air, why you're saying amen when they sing, why you're praising the Lord. I'm just going to tell you right now, when Jesus shows up and you have a revival in the graveyard, glory to God, you ought to worship Him. Amen. She received her blessings and she rejoiced in her blessings. Now, the fact of the matter is this, and I want us to get honest. We've had some people already praising the Lord and shouting and raising their hand. I look back, and that's why I kind of slapped Taylor a while ago. I look back, and Ashley was standing up in there. I look back, Brother Alden was standing up in there. All over the building, people just standing up with their hands raised. They're receiving the blessing. They're rejoicing over the blessing. But everybody sorry didn't have their hands raised. Everybody hadn't had a revival in the graveyard yet. So the question is this, do you want a revival in the graveyard? Do you need God to move in your life? Do you need God to move in your situation? I'm telling you, if we'll do what the Bible says, if we'll live like that Bible tells us to do, and I know you said, preacher, it's hard. No, it ain't hard when you fall and you make a fool out of yourself. Just ask Him to forgive you. Pick yourself up and keep on going. Amen. Don't quit. That's what I have to do all the time. I've told you, my favorite verse in the Bible now is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's my favorite verse. That's the one I use more than anybody else. I use that one a whole lot more than Psalms 23. I use that one a whole lot more than John 3:16. Being a Christian ain't hard. Sometimes it's tough, but being a Christian ain't hard. Just do what you're supposed to do. Well, preacher, I can't do it. Well, come on down to this altar and let Him do it through you. Amen. Amen. I want you to bow your heads.